This morning, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 43. We'll get into our message this morning. Psalm 43 is the text for our message, our theme for the year. As you can see behind me, is guided by God's light. It's our desire that God would guide in every aspect of our lives as individuals and our life as a church. And Psalm 43 is the text for that. It's on the wall over at the side there, as we mentioned already. And I trust that it will be a great theme for us individually and as a church in 2017. Guidance and direction for life are something that most people, if not everybody, wants or needs at some point in their life. Sometimes making decisions is a no-brainer. It's very simple. And other times making a decision is very difficult. And we need counsel and wisdom, and we try and figure out what would be the best thing to do. Whether it's the everyday decisions. Some people have a hard time deciding what to, what they want in their coffee or what to order at the restaurant. And they need someone to say, well, you know, why don't you get this? Why don't you get that? My my wife's aunt, we used to go out for supper with them sometimes, a group of us together. And she would say, I want to order last because I haven't decided what I'm going to have yet. And I want to see what everyone else orders and see which sounds the best. She needed some help maybe sometimes deciding what to eat, what to have for food. But the big life decisions are decisions that we do well to ask counsel over, and they sometimes seem a little bit overwhelming. For the young, life's decisions are often about education, about a career, about a partner for life or not, to have a partner for life, and these kind of things, about vehicles to purchase or not to purchase, about where to live. Those kind of things are the typical young people decisions. They tell you when you're in grade 9, enter high school, maybe sometimes even before that, you need to know what you're going to be when you leave school. And sometimes we say, I have no idea. I was one of those in that camp. I had no idea what I wanted to be when I left school. But those are some of the decisions that face us in life as young people. As we get older, some of those things are set, but others are still there. We still need to make some of those same decisions. And sometimes then added to that, decisions about child rearing. If we've had children and career advancement, should I take this promotion or not take this promotion? Should I apply for that job at that different company that seems to be better? And so on. And then, of course, there are decisions about family finances and all those different kind of things that we face, decisions, how to decide, what to decide, what to do. Then as we get older than that, into the thoughts of downsizing. You know, we've sometimes advanced in our size of our dwelling place, and then we get older, and it's like, do we downsize? Do we stay here where we're comfortable? And what about retirement plans and all those different kinds of things? Decisions in life that need to be made on an ongoing basis. Throughout our life, we'll never come to a place where we don't have to make a decision unless we come to a place where we're unable to make decisions and they're made for us. We have decisions to make. Sometimes we have people in place to give us direction. As young people, often our parents are there, and hopefully they're there to try and guide us and try and help us to make those decisions. Now, as young people, we don't always appreciate the decisions that they encourage us to make, but they're there for us. We have friends in our lives that help us to make decisions sometimes, and for better or for worse. Sometimes we have financial planners and those people in place to help us to know how to invest and how to spend and how to do these things with our life. It's a good thing to have people in place, but we must be careful as to who we listen to. We need to make sure the advice that we take comes from those who truly care about us and not care about how it may impact them and how maybe they can line their pockets from the decisions that we would make. And so as we enter a new year, we're just one week into 2017, many may be seeking direction for the year ahead, saying, this year, what do I need to do? What plans will I make? What things will be taking place that I need to plan for? And as we said at the outset, we really don't know, do we? We have ideas and we have thoughts, but we really don't know what tomorrow holds. This time last week, we had no idea that my mother-in-law was already in the presence of God. We assumed we were going to go home and wake her up and have lunch together. That didn't happen because things change very rapidly in our lives. We need to make wise choices. And although we don't know what the future holds, as Christians we say we know who holds the future. We know that God knows the future. He knows the end from the beginning, as He tells us in His Word. Not only does He know what is in store, but He knows what's best for you. And He knows what's best for me. And He knows how to direct our path. Just in this past week, as we think about what took place, we've seen how God had already prepared us and directed. You know, we were supposed to be on vacation last weekend. But through circumstances that we just felt like, you know, it's not the time, we will cancel it. And we, fortunately, something we never do, we had cancellation insurance. We were able to cancel it. But looking back, we say, now I know. God was sending out His light and His truth to guide us in our lives. And many times in our life, we look back and we say, hindsight is 20/20, but God doesn't need hindsight. God has foresight and foreknowledge, and He knows what is ahead. It's a great comfort, you see, that to know that we can be guided by God's light. And He does send out His light and His truth to guide us. And so in this psalm before us this morning, and in the message this morning, I trust that we will see how we need to be and how we can be guided by God's light. Psalm 43, verse 1 says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For Thou art the God of my strength. Why dost Thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out Thy light and Thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto Thy holy hill and to Thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise Thee, O God, my God. Why art Thou cast down, O my soul? Why art Thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we are thankful that we can come to a God who knows what tomorrow holds, what 2017 holds, and beyond that. Lord, You are eternal, and You know all of what time has to offer. You made time, and You will end time, and You know everything that will take place during time. Our time that are in Your hands, and the time of the future. And so we thank You for that. Lord, we come this morning as needy people, recognizing that we don't know what tomorrow holds and what this year holds. And so we would ask with the psalmist that You would send out Your light and Your truth and let them guide us. Father, we ask that You be glorified in our message this morning and in our hearts and in our lives. And we ask that we would be challenged to commit ourselves to You afresh, even as we start this year, and to Your plans for our life. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may today be the day where they would realize that You are there for them, ready to save them if they would just call upon You. And Lord, that You'd be there then to walk with them throughout the rest of their days. And as Christians, Lord, may we commit ourselves afresh to You with our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think first about the need of guidance mentioned here in Psalm 43. In verse number 1 and verse 2, we see that there's a need of guidance that the psalmist mentions here. He speaks about the ungodly nation and about the injustice that is taking place. Now, we don't know who penned these words. Some have ascribed it to David. Some have felt that it should be a part of Psalm 42. And definitely there's some similarities between Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. But regardless, we know not who penned these words. And so because of that, we know not the circumstances of their penning the words to our psalm. But one thing we do know is that the psalmist was living in a difficult time. Because verse 1 would tell us that, because he says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from deceitful and unjust man." He asked that God would please His cause against an ungodly nation. We can attest to the fact that in many ways we live in an ungodly nation. It's a great nation. I love Canada. I'm glad to be a Canadian citizen. I love our country. I love the beauty of the country. I love the freedoms that we enjoy. But we can say today, seeing what's taking place, particularly over these last few years, that we don't live in a godly country. We don't live in a country where most people aspire to what God wants, but rather we live in a place where God is being slowly pushed out and turned away from. We live in a nation where wickedness abounds and sin is not just tolerated, but sin is being legalized. I saw yesterday again and was reminded, just because sin is legalized does not make it right in the sight of God. And we live in an ungodly nation. The psalmist wrote these words and said he lived in an ungodly nation. Living in a culture that is not godly brings with it the need to be especially careful about the advice that we receive about our life. See, there's a lot of advice out there. There's a lot of people who are willing to give you the advice, but the advice of the ungodly is to forget about morals and forget about things and just enjoy life. That's not the kind of advice that is wise counsel. The advice of the ungodly is to live like there is no God, because the ungodly say there isn't a God. The advice of the ungodly is to enjoy the here and now, because there is no hereafter in their minds. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, is the philosophy of an ungodly nation. The advice of the ungodly is that it's okay to lie and cheat as long as nobody gets hurt and all works well in the end. See, the advice of the ungodly is it really doesn't matter if nobody, as long as nobody gets hurt, right? That's the advice of the ungodly. And so in a world where ungodly advice is very, very out there and very easy to access, we need to say, God, I need your guidance to do what is right. Because we live in an ungodly world, we need guidance to live right. Because of the injustices of the world, we need guidance to live right. The psalmist said, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Again, who specifically that was, we know not. But there was injustice in the psalmist's life. Injustice abounds in our world today. Many injustices. Whether it is by the government, a merchant perhaps, an employer, a family member, or somewhere else. People feel like they've been unjustly treated, and sometimes people have been unjustly treated. We can all be on the receiving end of injustice, or at least feel that that is the case. You know, when you feel that you've been treated unjustly, you need guidance to act properly. Because when you feel like you've been treated unjustly, the natural thing is, well, I'll just show them. I'll just do what I think. They don't care, so why should I? And so when there's injustice, we need especially to have guidance to do what is right. We need to be guided by the wisdom of God. So there's a need of guidance in the psalmist's life here, because he lives in an ungodly nation. There is injustice that has been done to him, and also he feels that God is far from him. He says, thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? God, where are you? Where are you? He felt distant from God. He felt like God had distanced himself from him. And because of that, he mourned. He was saddened. Do you ever feel that way in your life, that God has let you down? There are people who feel that God has let them down. Circumstances, specifics in their life, they say, God has failed me. Maybe because of something has happened, you say, God has let me down in my life. We feel distant from God or those that we love. We need guidance to know God has never let you down. God has a plan for your life and he has a purpose for your life, but he certainly does not let you down. He loves you more than you will ever know. But when we feel all alone and we feel like there's nobody there and God has distanced himself from us, what do we need? We need guidance. We need God to send forth his light and his truth to guide us. Because at those times when we feel distant from the people that we love and we feel distant from God himself, those are times when we would often be prone to make very unwise decisions and wrong choices with our life. Well, nobody cares anyway, so what does it matter? Maybe the thought of our heart. We need guidance. In those kind of situations, guidance that reminds us that God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. We need guidance at these times in our life so we can see the bigger picture that God has in store in our life. See, there's a need of guidance in the psalmist's life and in ours, there's a need. But thankfully, there's the source of guidance seen in our text. He says in verse 2, "Thou art the God of my strength." And in verse 3, as we've read together, "O send out thy light and thy truth, let them guide me." Let them lead me. He recognized that God was the source of the guidance that he needed. Yes, he felt distant from God, but he said, "God, I need you to guide my life. In these circumstances that I'm facing, God, you are still my strength. You are still the one I need to guide my life." You know, when we're at a loss and don't know which way to turn, we need to remember that God knows everything. We need to remember that he can guide us on the right path, even in a situation where it seems that there's so many conflicting paths that we could go down. God is there. He is there to give us the direction to go down the right path. There are all sorts of different places we can get advice from. You know, there's no shortage of advice. Some is good, and some is not. You may remember a Bible character named Amnon. He's one of David's sons. He loved his half-sister so much, supposedly. He lusted after her. The Bible says that Amnon had a friend. Amnon listened to the advice of his friend. He was no friend. His advice was very poor advice, and it brought great contention and great wickedness into that family that lasted for many years. Remember Rehoboam, the king, Solomon's son? He became the king, and Jeroboam was a man who had a group of people following him, and they came to King Rehoboam, and they said, "Rehoboam, your father taxed us too much." Sound familiar? He says, "You better change things." The decision was, "Come back in 3 days and we'll tell you what's going to happen." Well, what did Rehoboam do? Rehoboam went to his father's advisor, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived outside of Christ himself. He went to Solomon's advisors, and Solomon's advisor said, "Listen to them. You need to cut back on the taxing that you've put upon the people." He rejected that, and he went to the friends that he grew up with who had eaten off the same silver spoons and the same silver platters that he had. And he said, "Hey, what do you guys think?" And they said, "Hey, Rehoboam, you're the king. You go tell them you're going to make your pinky fatter than your father's thigh. They think they had it bad under Solomon. Just wait till they see what you're going to do to tax them." Bad advice. The kingdom was torn from Rehoboam. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, "In a multitude of counselors, there is safety." To some, when they need guidance, what is the first thing they do? Let's Google it. Right? Google has the answer for everything. Or call Siri, or call your smartphone's information source. There you go. There you get what you need. There you get your advice that you need. There's lots of advice online. You better be careful about the advice online. Some good, some bad. You know, the first place a Christian should go for advice is to their knees in this book, to God. He's the one who gives us advice. The psalmist said, Lord, you're my strength. I need you to send out your light and your truth. Though God uses the advice of good counselors in our lives, He is ultimately the counselor that we need. Remember what Isaiah 9:6 says? Unto you a child is born, a son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He's the counselor. He gives us counsel in our lives. He can see exactly what we need because He made us. In Jeremiah 10:23 it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. What was Jeremiah saying? God, we need your advice. We need your counsel. We need your direction in our life. You know, the sooner we realize that God's guidance is what we really need, the better off we'll be. And so there was the need of guidance and the source of guidance, and we find that there was the means of guidance in verse 3. He says, send out thy light and thy truth. That was the means of the guidance that the psalmist requested. God, give me your light and give me your truth. To send out means to cast, to shoot forth. I picture a light shining from above, leading the way, beaming the path that was to be taken. God's light is what we need. What does light do? Light reveals obstacles. Light reveals the clear path. Light shines the way and gives direction that we need. It really does those three things, doesn't it? You see obstacles because of the light is shining. You see a clear path because the light is shining. The light also makes the way clear and gives direction as to where you need to go. Light in Scripture refers to numerous things, and from righteousness and direction itself and understanding. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He repeated the same statement three times, being the light of the world in John 8, 12, 9, 5, and 12:46. We see God guides us by giving us understanding. And light is understanding. Solomon asked for and received understanding to lead Israel. Remember when he became the king and he was overwhelmed and he had a dream and God appeared to him and said, Solomon, ask me anything you want. And Solomon said, God, I'm just a young man. And you've given me the kingship over this great nation. I need understanding to lead this people the right way. And God gave him great wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Verse 11 goes on to say, Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Proverbs 3, 5, we're probably familiar with, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 9, 10 tells us, The knowledge of the holy is understanding. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 17, Daniel, that slave captive caught away in Babylon, what does he say? He says, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. He pledges himself to do what's right in the sight of God. And the Bible says that God gave Daniel understanding. He could understand the times and he could understand the situation. But we talk of that light equating to understanding quite often, don't we? We're talking to somebody and then we see that, and we say, oh, the light just came on. That light bulb moment, bing, oh, now I get it. The light came on. I understand now what you're talking about. When we understand better, we see the bigger picture to help us make a better decision in our life. The Bible speaks of the children of Issachar, one of the tribes of Israel, that they were said to have the understanding of the times. To know what Israel ought to do. They understood when they were living, and because they understood, they had wisdom of what to do. Understanding will direct our paths. Better understanding often comes with age. Job 12:12 speaks of that. Because we see a bigger picture. As we get older, we see more than just our own realm. We see bigger things that impact more people with our life. That's why parents are able to help their children understand things, or why at least we try to help the children understand things sometimes. It's why we say when we get older, oh, now I know that's what Mom and Dad told me. I remember them telling me that. At the time, it didn't make sense, but we get older and we say, now I have a fuller understanding of life. With better understanding, we're able to make those better choices. God's Word gives us that understanding. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple, in Psalm 119, 130. I wonder how many times we lack understanding because we fail to let God lead us by His Word. We fail to apply the Word of God in our life. God wants to direct our lives by giving us a greater understanding of life, a greater understanding of the times, a greater understanding of consequences, all those different things. Oh, how different we do things when we understand them. You ever start a job and you think, oh yeah, I've got this, I got it, I know what I'm doing. Maybe the first week you're doing the job and you seem to be doing okay at the job, but the people that you work with go, they don't get it yet. They don't understand it yet. When they really see the bigger picture and they see where this goes and we see all these things, then they will be able to do their job better. For a while, the company I worked for, part-time, a transportation company, and they would send out some of their employees that worked in the office on trucks with the drivers so that they get an understanding of the paper flow of how their job impacted everything else. Why? Because they just didn't, all they knew, could see was this piece of paper. I put it from this pile onto this pile or from this over to here. No, then when they went out, they saw the bigger picture. They had a greater understanding and therefore they could make better choices and better decisions in the job that they were doing. You know, it's not eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die when we have understanding. When we have understanding, it's prepare to meet thy God. Understanding says this life is not all there is. This life is preparation for the life to come. This life is a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. This life is what we need to prepare and the time we are given to prepare for eternity. We need to understand the times. We need God to give us an understanding. We ought to desire that He would send forth His light and His truth. His truth. In a time of ungodliness and injustice, the psalmist said, Lord, I need truth. I don't want ungodly counsel. I don't want injustice. I want truth. God is truth, and He would never direct in anything but truth. His Word is truth, and He guides us through His Word. We know it, I'm sure, many of us by heart, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word gives us direction. It shines the way. It gives us that purpose that we need in our life. God's word helps us to understand the times because we see what is to come. We're studying the book of Revelation right now on Wednesday nights. We see what is going to take place. How does that impact us now? God didn't just give us knowledge so we could have knowledge and say, yeah, I know what's going to happen. God gave us knowledge so that it would affect the way we live now. His Word guides us. His Word gives us truth. His Word is the truth. Truth may not be popular, but it's still the best basis to direct your life. You never need to remember what you said if you speak the truth. Pretty comforting, isn't it? If you always tell the truth, you don't need to remember, oh, did I tell you that before? Sorry, I meant this. You never need to remember if you're always telling the truth. Honesty is still the best policy. That's not just a nice trite statement or an old wives' fable. That's the Word of God tells us that the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Jesus said when we build our lives upon His teaching, the storms may come and the storms may rage, and they will. But our life will stay put because it's built on a solid foundation. The truth The truth of God's Word is what we need to build our lives upon. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. If you want solid direction for your life, pray what the psalmist prayed. Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them guide me. Let them be the direction that I need in my life. It may not be popular, but the narrow way is still the best way and will take you to the best place, the best destination. Send out thy light and thy truth. And what is the direction of guidance? It says, let them lead me. Let them lead me. The psalmist wanted God's light and truth to lead him. You know, over the years of being a Christian, I've met a lot of different people, and some people want to know what God says. Some people have no intention of following it. They just want to know what God says. Yeah, let me know. I want to know. Yeah, what does God say? Oh, that's nice. And they head on their own way and do their own thing. The psalmist said, God, I want you to shine your light. I want you to show me that truth. I want you to lead me in that because I am going to follow it. It's going to lead my life. I just don't want to know just for the sake of knowing. I want to know because I want it to direct my paths. I'm committed to following your light and truth, Lord. See, God's light and God's truth are not just spectacles to see and say, wow, that's interesting. God's light and God's truth is something that should change the course of our life. God's word is active, practical, and to be lived out. Many treat the Bible like a museum or a historical novel. But that's not what God's word is for. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We see what God did in people's lives. We say that's the way God led them. God will also lead me. And we see the hope that we have to know that God is leading us. But we need to be committed to that. Because just a head knowledge alone will do no good. We can build our lives by and on the direction that God gives. It ought to be our prayer when we open our Bible that God would teach us from it and teach us to live it, that we would be doers of the Word and not hearers or readers only. Let God lead you by His Word. The psalmist said, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. God's direction will take you places. It will take you closer to Him. Moses said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. When you follow the light and truth of God, it will lead you to closer fellowship with Him. The journey may lead you over some rough terrain. It may go through some valleys and some less traveled roads. But God's design is that it will draw you closer to Him. Let them lead me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Lord, I want it to bring me closer to you. It's amazing how many people say, oh yeah, I'm going to follow God's leading. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. But they go against His word. That doesn't compute. That doesn't make sense. If we say, God, I want you to lead me and I'm going to follow your leading for my life, then you won't do contrary to the Word of God. You will follow the Word of God and apply it in your life. You cannot go against the Word of God if you're following the leading of God. They will not contradict one another. God's Word will always, and His will will always lead you towards Him, not away from Him. You can't say you're following a path that is God's path for your life if you're choosing a path that takes you from His Word, from time spent in prayer, and from time spent in His presence. That doesn't make sense. The psalmist said, let them lead me and let them guide me, bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. If you're willing to follow His leading, you'll be glad that it brings you closer to Him. In conclusion, in the last couple of verses, we see the result of that guidance. At the beginning of the psalm, the psalmist was discouraged. It's an ungodly nation. I'm being treated unjustly. God's far away from me. But at the end of the psalm, he comes full circle around and he says, "Then I will go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God." Then he says to himself, "Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. He's the help of your countenance. The health of your countenance and your God." The result of God's guidance in your life will be surrender to him. He talks about coming to the altar of God. What is the altar? The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is a place of surrender. In Psalm 66, we don't have time to read it, but in verses 10 to 15, it speaks about being led through trials and difficult places out into a wealthy place, but into a place of surrender to God. Seeing God's work in your life is humbling, and it's a sure way to bring you to surrender to him. As I said, over this past week, we have seen how God, before knowing what was going to take place, guided in the affairs of our life, and we just have to say, "God, you're God. You're awesome. Well, look at these things that you did in our life that we had no idea. We were disappointed. We wanted to do this. We wanted to go away, but God led a different path, and now it's just, Lord, your way." Surrender to him. It's humbling to see his work in your life, but it brings you to a place where you bow the knee and say, "God, how could we ever have questioned your way?" You will surrender to him when you see his purpose fulfilled in your life. Of course, it brings praise. He speaks about praise in verse 4. Upon the harp will I praise thee, at the end of the verse. When God leads in our life, we can look back and again say, "Wow, what a great God. I not only surrender to him, but give him thanks for what he's done." And be encouraged in our life. "Why art thou cast down?" Well, why be discouraged? Why be downcast? Because God is still there. He's still beaming out his light. He's still beaming out his truth. And they're going to bring me to places where I'll be drawn closer to him and great things will be done. So why do I need to be discouraged when things don't seem to be going the way I want them to be? Being guided by God is of such great encouragement to know he has a purpose and a plan and that he cares enough to direct your steps. We need God's guidance today. Every one of us needs God's guidance in our life. Why? Because ungodliness prevails and injustices are all around. He's the only one who can see the end from the beginning. He wants to give you light to guide your path and truth to direct your steps. When he guides you, determine to follow, though. Don't just say, "Lord, show me, and then I'll decide whether I want to go or not." No, determine to follow the path that he leads. You'll find it is a path of surrender, praise, and encouragement. Being guided by God's light begins with salvation. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." His word points you back to him and to your need of salvation. If you've never come to a place in your life where you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this morning would be a great time to do that. To turn to him and believe upon him. With all your heart, turn from your sin to the Savior. He wants to guide you with his light. Christian, you need to be committed to following him in your life. Say, "But I got plans of my own." No, just say, "God, send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me." They're going to take you places that you'll be glad you went. There'll be no regrets. Question is, are you guided by God's light? Let's pray together.